On the John Murphy Show, we've been talking about the top 10 defensive players in Bills history, the program that airs tonight on MSG at 9 p.m. And we've been knocking around who the number two all-time defensive player might be, because I think everybody agrees that Bruce Smith is going to be number one. I think we'd all be shocked and fall out of our chair tonight if it's not him in the number one spot, since he's the only Pro Football Hall of Famer on the defensive side of the ball in team history, has his number retired, one of only two players to have that in team history. So I think by all accounts, most people are expecting him to be number one. We will revisit this conversation as to who your number two is at 803-0550. But joining us on the line right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline is a player who is certainly, I would expect, to be on this list of top 10 defensive players in Bills history tonight. It's the man they called Mount Washington, Ted Washington, joining us on the line. And, Ted, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Ted, now the Bills are doing this top 10 series, and everyone is debating if, you know, you're going to be on there or not. And Chris and I both believe, and even John, we all believe that you should be on this list. Do you pay attention to things like this?
No, I don't get caught up in that. But it'd be nice to be recognized as one of the top 10 guys there. My last and ultimate goal for the NFL is just try to get that gold jacket.
Yeah. Ted, it's interesting because obviously when you came here, you know, in 95, a lot of us, you know, had to quickly get on the uptake with where your career had been prior to that. Obviously, you were in Denver and you were a former first-round pick. But it didn't seem like your career really took off until you got here to Buffalo. Can you just maybe shed some light on maybe how the first part of your career went before you got to Buffalo and what kept you from kind of hitting your stride like you did when you got to the Bills?
Well, I was drafted by the 49ers in 91. And, you know, you listen to the veteran guys, rookies, first round, they're coming in there. And, you know, they feed you a lot of stuff to make you comfortable, which was sabotaging the rookie guys so they won't take their position.
Uh-huh.
And so you go through the motions for the first year or so because you know they're not going to get rid of you. And then my third year came around and I broke my leg in that NFC Championship game and realized that now, you know, I'm on a bubble. At the time, I was on the operating table, and I found out I was traded to Denver for that last year of my contract. And after that, I've become a free agent. And I think that was my wake-up call then, and realized that it's a business. And if you want to stay in the league, you're going to have to do what you have to do, and you can't rely on other people and what they're saying for you. So when I got to Buffalo, I had to make a name for myself, and the rest is history.
How hard was it for you to make a name for yourself in Buffalo, and you had so many other guys on the team that had already made names for themselves?
Well, I was more of a in the pissed off mode because being traded, and just felt that, you know, I didn't live up to what they wanted, and then I had to prove to them that they should have kept me, and so on and so forth. So coming to Buffalo, realizing who I was on the team with, and going into that field house at the time, the old field house, and seeing the pictures on the wall of all the players, Pro Bowlers, Bruce, Thurman, Jim, Andre, and all those guys. And, you know, you say, hey, I want my pitch up there one day, and that made it happen.
So as you came to the Bills in 95, you know, obviously you didn't have a say in that, you know, in the way it happened. But did you feel like you were tailor-made for the role you were walking into? Because, I mean, you think of that 3-4 and, you know, what football was like in the 90s. I mean, I don't know if they could have found a better fit. Did you feel the same way?
I felt the same way because of Wade Phillips, because Wade and I were at Denver together.
Right.
And I, you know, when I came into the league, I was more of a 3 technique or 5 technique, you know, defensive end or tackle. Wade switched me to playing the nose guard position. Well, before Wade, the Niners were trying to switch their defense, cater it to a 3-4, but it was a 5-man front. And Wade, you know, told me about the 3-4, and I got comfortable with it. And when he left, I was like, well, I need to find a team that's with a 3-4 because I've learned a new style of defense. that's where I like to play from here on out. And Buffalo was that choice.
Now, when Wade said he felt like you should switch to nose, was that something that you just embraced right off the bat, or you were like, I don't know about that?
I had no choice. I mean, I was traded, and if I want to get picked up or a new contract, you're going to play the position.
Yeah.
Right. Now, obviously, playing five technique is certainly different than playing the nose. I mean,
yeah.
Did you try or say to yourself, I got to change my body composition a little bit, or did you pretty much stay where you were, like just in terms of weight-wise and training?
Well, with the Niners, when I came in, I was under 300 pounds when I came in the league. You had to play all positions. So you had to play the shade, the three, the five, and some defenses, they had you out wider than that. So you had to play all those positions.
Yeah.
But with the Niners, you know, it was primarily you had to play it all. And I was backing up Michael Carter, who was pretty much a nose tackle. But that style of defense, like, it was a five-man front. And he was going to be shade or hit up. So I had to adjust then. But when I got to Denver, it was more, I like to run this 3-4 type. This is where I want you. And that's where I played.
Now, when you got to Buffalo, you feel like you benefited from, you know, being on the field with so many different guys like Bruce and the rest of those guys that had the name. So defenses were going to focus on them. When you got here, I mean, this is where you first really got going as a defensive tackle. Do you feel like you benefited from having those guys on the field with you?
I benefit from it, but my thing was more how they played. Bruce already made his name. And those were playmakers. Mm-hmm. Linebackers with Cornelius Bennett, all those guys, they were playmakers. I wanted to be a playmaker. I didn't want their names to just get in the paper and not me. I'm not just going to sit and take a blocks and watch them get all the glory. So I had to step it up another notch. Not only take on the blocks, but make plays. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what I did.
Right, because, I mean, a lot of – it's kind of the dirty work position. I mean, because in that defense, your most nose tackles are asked to just – you know, two gap, tie up two guys, let the linebackers run and hit and get all the tackles. You know, but you look back at some of your numbers. I mean, you had 130 tackles in 1996, and then you had 124 the next year in 97.
Well, that was not a cut you off, but that was the goal, is to at least get 100 tackles. I want to be just like linebackers. If they're going to make 100 tackles in the season, I want to do the same thing. And so that means you have to pick up that pace to keep up with them or beat them to the ball. And that's what I did.
So on a roster that had guys who had been to the Pro Bowl, you know, like Bruce, like Cornelius that first year you were here, and then even Bryce Pop, who comes in here and becomes Defensive Player of the Year, you know, to get the Pro Bowl recognition finally, you know, a couple of years after you had gotten here, what kind of satisfaction did that bring you to get that recognition from your peers, despite the fact that there was some well-recognized Pro Bowl talent already on this roster?
Well, the difference was it was our whole defensive front, pretty much.
Right.
That was Pro Bowlers. And you don't see that often when you have at least three of your four or five front guys in the Pro Bowl. And, I mean, I don't think I've seen that. I've seen a couple of guys, but you had Bryce Pop, who was a stand-up outside. He could have been defensive end. Bruce, myself, and Phil Hansen should have been a Pro Bowler. I mean, that whole defensive front, you know, could have been Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
And that's the satisfaction I got out of it, all of us. It's just, instead of recognizing one, they saw all of us bringing the phone.
So, Ted, when you think about, and granted, you've got a small window of time in terms of Bill's history. I mean, we're talking about a 58-year history of the franchise. You know, you were on board here for, you know, eight of those years. But based on, you know, the time you spent here, the guys you played with, you know, who do you think would qualify for a top 10 list of Bill's all-time defensive players? I think Bruce goes without saying, but maybe in terms of the guys you played with, who do you think merits consideration for a list like this?
Wow, defensively?
Yeah.
You said defensive linemen or just defensive players?
Defensive players. I mean.
Ooh, man. Well, see, the only guys I played with that was there was Bruce, Phil Hansen, Bryce Pop, Cornelius.
Tally?
No, I didn't play with Tally.
No, okay. Tally was gone, yeah.
Henry Jones, Thomas Smith. But and those all, you know, those all the select few guys that that was there with
right.
for those years. So my list is real short. So
yeah,
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I mean we've all had our own opinions of, you know, watching Bruce work over there, and you've kind of had a different kind of view of it being right next to him on the field. You know, everybody talks about how he could just do certain things physically that most defensive ends couldn't do. I remember Marcellus Wiley, you know, telling me after a year and a half of watching Bruce on film, he's just come to the conclusion that he just can't bend the corner the same way. His body won't do that. Are there things that you still think of regarding Bruce's game that you just kind of marvel at a little bit, just from a physical ability standpoint?
No, not really. And he probably hate me when I say this because I always told him that he liked to freelance, but Bruce already made his name of who he is. But when I play with him, I'm like, no, I'm not going to run a stunt with you on first and 10. We need to stop this run first. I don't want to run a twist to where you can go and get the sack and it's a run. I said, no, I'm not doing that. So after that, you got to hate me for that one, though.
See, I think you're probably the only guy that could tell Bruce no and not have to worry about repercussions.
Oh, yeah, he know it. I told him. And I'm probably the only one that really teased him a lot. Canadians can vouch for that. And, you know, Bruce was Bruce. I'm not going to be scared of who you are and what you've done. You know, you're my teammate. Let's get it going together.
Right. He's like, you ain't getting all this shine. We ain't doing that. Yeah. We're going to do this. This is what they call, this is what we doing.
That's it.
So in your time here in Buffalo, Ted, is there – I don't know what sits at the top of the list for you. I mean, maybe it's in 98 starting 0-3 and making the playoffs. Maybe it's 99 finishing with the number one defense in the league. But what do you – what part of your time in Buffalo do you hang your hat on, you know, as something you're most proud of in your time as a Bill?
Well, I would say it was more off the field stuff. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot to be done, needed to be done during that time I was there. And I accomplished a lot with the community, not only in Orchard Park, but mm-hmm. in Buffalo and all the surrounding areas, giving back, just to see the expression. I know you got the number one fans, but to see the expression on kids' face that didn't have, and I was able to give and participate. I didn't just, you know, give out money and not be there. I was always there to see it. And I think that's the most, you know, I got out of that, you know, really made myself, my family, just proud of myself, you know, just giving back to the community.
See, as big as intimidating as Ted was, he's a big teddy bear.
He's a
you
big teddy bear, yeah, definitely.
Well, I'll let you slide with that because I was. But when it's time to play, I took care of business. So when it was time to get back, I was a gentle giant.
A gentle giant. Yeah. Now, you also were in you had some businesses out here, correct?
Not in Buffalo, no.
Not in Buffalo? Okay, okay.
No.
Now, I've had somebody tweet me and say, are you still making delicious wine?
No, that's Ruben.
See? And Ruben and Ted, you know, they were pretty tight when they were here together as teammates. And, you know, of course, they went at it in practice also at times. I know that the guys that put the program together for the top 10 defensive players of all time in Bill's history, they talked to Ruben an awful lot about you, Ted. So do we need to be a little concerned about some of Ruben's stories on you or no?
Ruben can't say nothing bad about me because we had fun. We did a lot of things together. We had fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, he coming in as a rookie, and I had a few years on him. We gelled. And it's rare to see guys on the opposite side of the ball gel together like that. And we're best friends, and we had fun.
Yeah.
Now, we did the offensive, top offensive players. That was last week?
Yeah.
And Ruben didn't make the list, Ted. So
wow.
Here we go. So what do you think about that?
Well, I personally, I wish you would have called me. Because you got a guy making, nine, 12 Pro Bowls?
Yeah.
He didn't get there just being Reuben Brown. He earned that.
Yeah.
Coming in as a rookie. Right. And then putting a stamp on his name, he did that over time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. Listen, Ted, we thank you very much for joining us here today. It's a pleasure to talk to you again, and you're a lot less intimidating when you're talking on the phone than when I'm standing next to you in the locker room. So,
20 years ago, man.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it doesn't change the fact that I practically got a crick in my neck looking up at you while I was trying to interview and you reach your mouth with my microphone. But thanks very much. Thanks very much, Ted. I appreciate it, and it's good to talk to you and hear that you're doing well.
Anytime, guys.